This is a People First Radio podcast.
Joe Calandino says his purpose these days is to help prevent young people from leading the life he used to live. A few decades back, Calandino was a full patch member of the Hell's Angels. Dealing with drug addiction and involved in a high profile fight in a Kelowna casino in 2005, he was kicked out of the club. Later down the road, Calandino would reconnect with Sergeant Kevin Torvik, who was then working with a provincial outlaw motorcycle gang unit. Torvik and Calandino had also gone to high school together. According to Calandino's book, The Longest Road, that connection led Torvik to check in on his old schoolmate multiple times when Calandino was homeless in Vancouver and in and out of St. Paul's Hospital. During one visit to Calandino in a Surrey jail cell, the pair talked about the idea of Calandino working to help kids. Eventually, Torvik was able to get enough people on board, and Calandino made presentations about his story to various groups. He would meet his future wife, Brenda, a former school district principal. Joe and Brenda founded Yo Bro, Yo Girl, an initiative aimed at preventing youth violence and gang involvement. It runs programming with schools on the Lower Mainland. This week, Calandino was in Nanaimo to share his story with local students. On Monday, he presented at Barsby Secondary School. After taking in the presentation, I met up with Joe Calandino at White Rabbit Cafe.
I'm Joe Calandino, Executive Director of Yo Bro, Yo Girl Youth Initiative and co-founder. And I've also co-authored two books, the latest book, The Longest Road, and To Hell and Back.
And you were here in Nanaimo at Barsby Secondary School talking with the students there. What was the message you were trying to get across?
Yeah, after living the life I led, being an ex-gang member, ex-full patch member of the Hell's Angels, the key takeaways is, you know, I never want to see a child go through what I went through. And no child should ever see what I've seen, done what I've done, or, you know, lived the life they knew nothing about.
And when you're talking to kids, what is your approach? How are you trying to convey that and get that message across? What are you saying to them to do that?
Well, I walk them through my life, right? Every child needs to know they're not alone, right? Everybody faces adversity. Everybody has a struggle, right? And when I was growing up, I felt like I was all alone, right? I had a father who struggled with mental health, schizophrenia to be exact, right? And in the 70s, there are not the supports that there are today for families and children, right? It was, you know, a family from a European descent trying to cope and deal with somebody who struggled with extreme mental health, right? And they were not qualified, nor they tried to do it in a way of love, care, and, you know, tuck the child in. But really, that child, when it comes to, you know, kind of the family wanting to do it, they seek it elsewhere. And that's what we're seeing with our kids today, that sense of belonging, that sense of purpose, where they drift off and think they can find it from a friend or another place, right? So, you know, the message is, you know, whatever adversity that you're facing today, right, they're so young in their lives that that adversity is just a blip.
Well, could you tell me what you know about as far as the pathways that young people kind of fall into gang life today in 2026? What are the ways that someone could get involved in that in the first place?
Well, now they set up shop in schools and playgrounds, which you heard today, which to me sickens me, right? How is it people are trying to get a product out on the street, you know, that today is killing people? And it's called fentanyl, carfentanyl, acrofentanyl. We've legalized, you know, marijuana. Kids are already struggling with addiction issues in grade 8. Come on. What have we done? So, you know, it's just for me, you know, if they're going to do their thing, they need to understand that you're playing with the adolescent brain. You have dopamine, serotonin, cognitive function, right? And you're throwing a substance into the body that misfires the only one thing. If you poke out an eye, you know, nowadays they could put an eye back in the socket. You break an arm, you can break an arm, right? And they can repair it, a leg, a foot, an ankle, right? You lose an arm, they even have prosthetics. You damage your brain, now what? They don't replace a brain, right? And this is what's happening with our children today. They're not understanding that they're playing with the number one asset that we have, and that's our brain, right? And the body is a beautiful thing. I've recovered from battle injuries and wounds and addiction and all this stuff, but why go through that?
What is your philosophy on addiction, having gone through the experiences you have, as you've shared in both of your books and in your presentations to schools? You know, 20-odd years ago, you were dealing with addiction to cocaine and GHB. You managed to get past that. How do you frame addiction for people?
Well, in the way of framing addiction, that is a loaded question, and my wheelhouse is prevention, early intervention, right? You don't have to stop what you haven't started. And at the end of the day, right, we are dealing with now today, you know, a drug that is changing the very DNA of the human anatomy, right? And yes, addiction and people that struggle with addiction need the supports required, right? And you read my second book. I talked about my fall with alcohol, right? Immediately, I went to treatment, right? Understood things from a bigger perspective, right? And in the way of addiction, if somebody doesn't have purpose anymore and have lost their way, it's dark and ugly, the world that we as addicts lived in, okay? Or are still living in. And nobody's going to know what an addict deals with at all. We don't know their past trauma. We don't know their history. We don't know all these underlying issues for people that struggle today. And, you know, it's a big uphill battle. But having proper structure with purpose will give you something to look forward to. And when you seek something that gives you purpose, now you start to fill yourself with something different, opposed to not knowing, being lost, being dark, being in an ugly place, right? And it's giving them habilitation, right? And the good old word habilitation, right? Or rehabilitation, right? Teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. Give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. So, I wish I had a magic wand and could wipe it away, but I don't. And this is only, and I have to speak from an I perspective when it comes to addiction, right? Because I don't know the other addicts' issues. So, for me, this is what fulfilled me and gave me longevity on where I'm going in my life.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. We're hearing a conversation I had with Joe Calandino at White Rabbit Cafe in Nanaimo. Calandino is co-founder of Yo Bro, Yo Girl, which runs school programming on the Lower Mainland aimed at helping prevent youth from getting involved in gangs or other harmful activities. Calandino is a former member of the Hells Angels. He was in Nanaimo to speak with high school students about his life story and the journey that led him to Yo Bro, Yo Girl. He's also told his story in a pair of books called To Hell and Back and The Longest Road. Both were co-authored by Gary Little, who was Calandino's high school counselor at Templeton Secondary School in Vancouver. Conversation with Calandino followed a presentation he made at Barsby Secondary School on Monday, May 25th. And you mentioned there that now your purpose in your work is focused on prevention for young people. You founded this initiative, Yo Bro, Yo Girl. Could you walk me through how exactly that works, what you do with kids to help try and prevent them from falling into that kind of gang lifestyle?
Well, it's not all me, right? There is a better half to Joe Calandino, and her name is Brenda, right? She was a district principal for a school district, right? And Brenda just filling me full of knowledge and understanding and, you know, that same day, same place, and, you know, having that activity with consistent messaging, right? And have a discussion. As adults, we have two ears, one mouth. You got to hear the kids. Don't judge with the mouth, right? So if we start to, sorry to say this, so forthcoming, shut our mouths and hear our children and have discussions, we can better understand where they're at without passing judgment. Then I call it playground syndrome. Do an activity, right? Kids have lost their way. They're no longer doing activities in parks and schools. I'm sure you used to play back in the day. Right now it's social, this, that, what have you. So we'll do an activity. We have a number of activities we'll bring to the kids. And then nothing is as good as a meal. Break bread. Right? And I do an art called Qigong, mindfulness, right? Brenda always is a big fan of mindfulness or a checkout. What is one takeaway? Or I take them through a Qigong meditation type exercise. And that 2-hour window is where our opportunity starts to develop that connection, relationship, in turn trust for a program.
When you are doing a presentation, you shared that when you got involved with the gang life, it was something that you sought out. It was something that you kind of held in high esteem. You heard maybe from some of the questions from the students today, they were interested in seeing, like, oh, let me see the bike again.
Yeah, the fight scene and all this, that, whatever.
Yeah, how do you respond to that kind of interest in the bikes or the fights or the status when you hear you're at an assembly and you hear there are kids and maybe they think, like, oh, let me see that again. That seemed kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, you seen me debunk that right away, right? That fight scene that they wanted rewound, well, I got charged, convicted. Had to do time, really? Was it that cool? And the bike scene, yeah, sure. You know what I mean? If you want to ride a motorcycle responsibly and do it for the right reasons, right? I still love my Harley. I still ride my Harley today, right? Not everybody made the choice that I would make, right? I made that choice. So, you know, the life I led, they're kind of the Gangster Island theme I walked you through, right? Everybody thought it was, oh, cool. Well, prison. Oh, cool, Gangster Island, death, right? Oh, cool, Gangster Island, addiction. Those are your three outcomes from that lifestyle, right? And, you know, anybody that thinks they're going to live the Vita Loca when you're in that life, think about when you got to walk out that door. You, the Incredible Hulk. Because let me tell you something, if 45 bullets coming at you, you ain't no Hulk, right? And you fear that constantly, right? At least I did, so.
A lot of your programming is based on the lower mainland. Is there anything you can tell me about maybe what the situation is like on Vancouver Island versus the lower mainland when it comes to prevention of getting youth involved in gangs, or is there anything notably different about the situation?
I'm not very familiar. Nanaimo Ladysmith School District brought me out, so I believe they're being very proactive. You know, the administrator schools that I met with is hit the wow factor with me. At the Alt-Ed program in the current school, they're very proactive. They're getting invested with the children, right? And I just wish I could scale and grow Yo Bro to an all-time high, right? Because this model doesn't belong to Brenda and I. We would love to come in and say, here's how we did what we did, Now, if you want to go about doing this, this is what you require, right? But what I've seen out here so far, at least in Nanaimo, they're doing some real good work, like beyond good work. I'm pretty impressed.
There's a saying out there, the opposite of addiction is connection. I'm wondering if that's something you think of when you're doing your work, or what you think the role of kind of like social connection is in substance use or preventing substance use.
Three domains: connection, relationship. In turn, you develop trust. From there, you could create the conversation and create the journey. Three domains. That's what I teach my staff. Connection, relationship, gain their trust. Now we're building a foundation.
And that's like to be able to talk to a young person or get them to trust you to say, like, this is what
I'm dealing with. Open up.
What kind of impact have you seen from the work that you have done? Or what kind of stories could you share about maybe seeing young people open up?
Well, Kevin Torvik's most proud of one thing that we've really knocked it out of the ballpark with, and that is putting law enforcement into law enforcement. So whether it's an ex-participant, volunteer, people that have come across our program and got invested volunteering, we put over 25 people on the force as of today, wearing the badge, the gun, the uniform. How is it a gangster and cop come together and we create cops, right? And then
you shared that in your presentation, you share that you had a relationship with, well, a couple of relationships with people on the force. And, you know, while you were in your gang days, it wasn't a good relationship. I'm wondering if you could tell me how your kind of views on law enforcement maybe have evolved and what you think of it now.
Well, I talked about the hurdles that Kevin Torvik put in front of me. Hurdle one, he said, get down to whatever location, right? So I'm like, why? And he's like, just get down here. So I get down there. I hear a knock on the door. Okay? So knock on the door, knock, knock, knock. He goes, open the door. I'm like, what are you doing? I open the door. It's Brandon Steele. He wanted to see how I'd react, right? Me and Brandon Steele started talking. We've connected. Since then, we've become friends, right? He also did 8 years as one of my board of directors for Yo Bro Yo Girl, and we're still friends today. So, yeah, it's unique. My life, it's weird.
Well, I'm wondering if you could give me some perspective on whether or what roadblocks you face trying to do some of the work you do now, having a criminal record. Like, what enabled you to get over that hurdle in the first place?
Well, the criminal record thing, right, will be with me. Of course, the pardon and everything, all that stuff comes into play, right? But the biggest hurdle is funding for charities. Right, when you do this work, you're not the corporate sector, right? We rely on donor dollars or grants or things that can allow us to be sustainable, right? And, you know, everything leads back to money. If, you know, I had a pot of gold, I could scale and grow Yo Bro on a national scale within 5 to 8 years, right? But we don't. Because you got to apply, you got to ask, you got to do donors. There's development stages, there's piloting, there's so many hurdles that we're up against. So,
how do you measure success? What are kind of the metrics you're tracking to say, like, what we're doing is
graduation.
Working?
We want to see kids graduate, right? From there, whether they move on to post-secondary, we develop small scholarships, youth leader models where we provide stipends, all that stuff. You know, it's just seeing a child achieve whatever they want to achieve and not getting involved with negative peer groups, right? Disconnecting from their family and ending up in the hands of law enforcement are three underpinnings.
And there's so much more we could get into on your story. There's a lot in there to cover. But maybe just before I let you go, is there anything else you think it's important people know about the work that you're doing today and your trip through Vancouver Island, the message you're trying to get across to the youth?
No, it's all about prevention, early intervention, right? And at the end of the day, as adults, you know, we got to stay invested with our children and, you know, understand where they're at. And, you know, we are hopeful that we can continue to do this good work, not only in Greater Vancouver, but maybe one day look at bringing it out to the island.
Joe Calandino, thank you very much for sitting down with me.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe Calandino is co-founder of Yo Bro, Yo Girl, which runs programming for youth in the Lower Mainland. A former member of the Hells Angels who was kicked out of the club, he was in Nanaimo to share his life story with youth at various local schools. We were speaking at White Rabbit Cafe following a presentation by Calandino at Barsby Secondary School on Monday, May 25th.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.